This is Roger Molina on Creative Disturbance. Today, the title of the podcast is Staging Life, We've Always Been Biohackers. And I'm pleased today to have Jens Hauser and Yvonne Tina to discuss the topic. Jens, maybe you can present yourself briefly.
Yeah, thank you, Roger. I'm Jens Hauser. I'm a researcher at Copenhagen University, also affiliated with the Department of Art and Design of Michigan State University. I'm a curator and former cultural journalist and filmmaker.
Yvonne Tina, I'm a PhD student from the University of Texas, of Texas in Dallas, in the Art and Technology program, and I'm looking at the convergence between performance art and artificial life.
Okay, so maybe we can unpack a few questions in the 15 minutes. So Yvonne, where would you like to begin?
Okay, I would like to know, to understand what is your territory of investigation in terms of life, what is living and non-living. Curiously enough, I've seen in one of your slides, in the PowerPoint that you presented us tonight, that bio-art doesn't cover the field of non-carbon realms or art practice that do not use carbonic materials. So in this framework, how would you define, how would you define the territories of life and in regards to bio-art? Yeah.
If we talk about what I'm referring to as the staging of aliveness, then the aliveness is a very interesting epistemological term because if you talk about life, you're talking about a definition of categories through which scientists or philosophers would approach life as we know. When we talk about the staging of aliveness, however, we would include that humankind has always been very interested in staging aliveness as a kind of simile sculpturing, creating images in its own image, creating artworks in its own image, creating cultural products in its own image. So it goes back to the Byzantine sculptures. It runs through the history of the automata, through the very concept of the artwork itself as an organism, as it was talked about in the 19th century. And then in the 20th century, also when it comes to hard and software manipulations, simulations that were creating some aspects of aliveness, let's say through robotics, through programming. And then in the latest phase of the 20th century, to have a movement emerge that is actually moving towards biological manipulation itself. In this sense, we can talk about very different periods and also techniques. So in the 20th century, we had in the second half, first those artists who were replicating features of aliveness in silico, and then we had those who went to the lab. So I'm generally opposing or having a kind of complementary logic that we can observe, that is that of the animation of the technological. So, for example, working with robotics and informatic procedures, but outside the carbon realm. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, we may have those who are, in fact, technologizing what is animated. Mm-hmm. And they are operating on living systems.
Yeah, so I guess, Yvonne, you disagree with this definition?
I don't disagree. I just wonder why, in that regard, you don't, maybe not you personally, but why are the performing arts not included in that definition, as we clearly make use of human beings and living beings in theater and dance and so on?
For me, the performative arts and the art with biomedia have very close relationships. They are process-based, they are not object-orientated, and they are, in fact, addressing bodily features in a very different scale, but still a bodily presence. And I think what is maybe a distinction is when it comes to the scale of the actual body, what we conceive of as a body today. And does it make sense still to limit these questions of what a body is to a mesoscopic definition of a human body with actions that is moving in a space, while the biopolitical decisions that are being made are happening mostly on the mesoscopic scale, on the macroscopic scale, sorry, of large corporations, to make the pun, or on the microscopic scale of molecular biopolitics. So we have a kind of extension towards the macroscopic and the microscopic. So I think that we have to just to talk about different terms of what performativity is and what performance is. And therefore, I was introducing the term of micro-performativity in order to integrate just this new field also within the larger scope of what performing arts or performativity in art has been about.
Okay, so this allows me to talk more about the staging dimension of bio-art. So in which sense do you define stage in the field of bio-art? What is a stage? How does it redefine the notion of action, presence, performance, and so on?
Well, the stage, in fact, can be for sure a gallery space. It can also be a laboratory space, but it also can be the stage of ecology. We have also these three dimensions, or the scales I previously mentioned. We could have a macroscopic, a mesoscopic, and let's say a microscopic scale. But the staging itself is a product also of mediality. That means it's not the life as such, but it's a kind of enhancement, an effort that is carried out to have an aesthetic effect or an artistic, a political commentary or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the staging itself implies that there is mediality involved. So I'm talking more about biomedia or biomediality than just to overcome also this kind of Frankensteinian assumption that artists that are working in the lab are making weird organisms, or that they're breaking the rules, or to defy ethic rules. I think here is a very interesting feature that we have to address as biomediality, because if you talk even to a scientist in a lab and you say, can you bring your media? He's not coming with a television. He's coming with a flask of growth media. So what I want to say is that the definition of what mediality is has been totally absorbed by communication media in the middle of the 20th century, while the very epistemology and the etymology of the very term of media is in betweenness, and the kind of milieu, a milieu enabling condition. And this enabling condition also enables growth, it enables mutation, and so on. So I think that the media aspect here is very important. We can assume that biomediality today is covering, even technically, all the aspects that electronic media have been covering in the past.
So do you extend biomedia to life in silico?
What I want to say is that a lot of processes that have been carried out in silico can be at least potentially done with biocomputing. And there's a convergence between, as Eugen Thacker has very cleverly worked out, on the one side we have, let's say, bioinformatics, where you go to the silicon site in order to transform an organism and then rematerialize this mutation or this transformation into the real carbon world. Mm-hmm. But you also have, for example, biocomputing, which is not having a kind of biological output that is intended, but using biological systems in order to solve a mathematical problem. So, in fact, you have the three main media functions that are actually being accepted, even in communication science, that of transmission, of storage, and of processing of information. Mm-hmm. And these three types of mediality that have been covered by electronic and computational media for a while can be fully being covered, in theory, at least in the biological realm.
So the same then, you define performance as being the medium today and performativity as such. Do you think that we could also make use of the notion of theatricality, which to my knowledge hasn't been redefined today since I'm talking to a French educated person now. Roland Barthes has defined theatricality as a polyphony of information of all what remains when you remove the text from theater. So I'm just trying to understand to which extent do you see theatricality manifesting itself in bio art?
very often I think theatrality for me has a kind of underlying meaning of representation, whereas for me performativity or performance as such contain the common agreement that we are dealing with a presence, a real presence of a body. Whereas in theater, I think that a theater actor is there, but is embodying a role. So he's in a more representative scope. And I feel that this distinction is very important to make. Also because we can, in some cases of biotechnological art or the use of biotechnological processes on stage, talk not about micro-performativity, but of molecular theater. Mm-hmm. When, for example, processes are being staged on a stage with human actors and making a kind of theater play around this with a real plot. And this is very interesting because often, because of this art not being extremely visual, mm-hmm. not being at the scope that we are normally dealing with artistic products, mm-hmm. it has been very frustrating for many. And many artists have been compensating this lack of the visual by playing theater around. And this in the past has not been always being very successful when it comes to the final project.
Maybe one or two last question to talk about something.
Yeah, we have about 3 minutes left.
Just can you briefly talk about the biofact, which is a notion introduced by Nicole Karafilis in her writings?
It goes back to a very phenomenological problem that the technicality of living systems may not be perceivable as such. So that a biofact would be the corresponding pole of an artifact, but would be living. So it has, in fact, it hosts the problematics that a living organism that is living on its own can have originated in a technical manipulation which is not longer visible. Mm-hmm. And in fact, this calls for the need, according to Nicole Karafilis, while coining this term, to actually trace beyond the visual and to trace in the very technicity, even of living system, that what has been technologically induced.
So could the biofact be potential entities for micro-performativity, whatever apparatus?
Yeah, I think that as soon a human being, as technology is human's nature, mm-hmm. so to say, is touching upon a living system that is then becoming self-sufficient and fully even or partially alive, then we have maybe a biofact, and then it applies maybe also to what we call art. That means a kind of human initiated cultural process in order to convey larger meaning to an audience which in most of the cases still is human.
Okay, so to conclude, your t-shirt says we have always been biohackers. So what does that mean?
Well, this t-shirt in fact comes back to a kind of pun that was done by the Center of genomic gastronomy, and they were of course making a pun on Bruno Latour's "We have never been modern," and "We have never been modern," of course, is a groundbreaking title of Latour's, questioning how far the nature-culture divide is making sense and how far we are all hybrids. So we also have always been biohackers is referring to the different scales of intervention. So biohacking today, we can say, okay, there are hackers that are actually hacking molecular devices, building tabletop machines in order to create genetically modified organisms, potentially your own kitchen, but also biohacking can be producing kombucha. So biohacking also formerly known as gardening or cooking.
Okay, thank you very much, Jens.
Thank you, Jens.
Staging life, creative disturbance.